Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And we are looking at, we looked at in our last class, we're going to continue in this class, the ever-present El Shaddai. And just a quick announcement once again, we are getting close to our June summer conference. So I may be doing classes, I may not be. It's all dependent upon the work days in preparation for the conference. So just to let you all know about that. and I think that's all as far as our announcements. If you're interested in viewing the conference, you can watch it live at cmintl.org. And it'll also be available on Ustream, on our Ustream channel, and our YouTube channel as well. So those are our announcements. And just with what the Lord put on my heart for today, I wanted to continue with what we were looking at our last class, our most recent class. And we're still in Genesis chapter 17. We're looking at verse 1 mainly. And what I've been doing these past couple of classes, all I did was search the term Almighty, El Shaddai, Strong's number 7706. I did a Strong's number search in my Bible app, and we've just been looking at verses where the term El Shaddai appears in the scripture. So today, I wanted to continue that, and our next verse where we find El Shaddai in the scriptures is in Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. But we're going to look at a portion of it, and the portion that we're looking at is verse 2 through verse 4. So verse 3 is right in the middle of those two verses. But it kind of gives us a little bit of a context where we find this verse. And so I'll just go ahead and start reading Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I am Jehovah. And I, verse 3, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah, once again, the Lord, Yahweh, was I not known to them. Verse 4, and I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. So, just real quick, at looking at verse 3 and just seeing this passage, but by my name, the phrase, but by my name, Jehovah, the Lord, Yahweh, was I not known to them? And you may have heard it shared, you may have heard it said. I remember I've heard this, I may have even said this in times past, that during that time of the patriarchs, things were just getting started. And by the time of Moses, like right here with this passage, now the Lord's going to really make himself known. Well, I guess you could say that to some degree based on what it says, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them? But first of all, we have to understand, if you can do a strong search number on this, on the term Jehovah, Lord in all caps, or God in all caps, Yahweh. It's Strong's number 3068. And let's just go ahead and do that, because I want to just make mention, and we've looked at this a little before in a previous class. Let's see, Exodus 6, 3. Jehovah, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. I'm going to do a Strong's number search. And the very first mention I wanted to say, but I want to just make sure I said the right verse, is Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. The very first verse where Jehovah, Yahweh, Lord, all caps, God, all caps, is mentioned. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord, in the day that Yahweh, in the day that Jehovah, God, made the earth and the heavens. And we even find out, and we've seen this in our reading, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, appeared unto Abraham, or unto Abram at the time. And so, nothing of God has changed. Nothing of God Almighty has changed the whole entire time. All right? And I want to make mention of that, because I want to look at something here, just something that stirred my heart while I was looking and reading this passage, this verse. I'll go ahead and read it again. Verse 3, "And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob." And in our most recent classes, we've been looking how that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the founding fathers. Foundation, the foundation. All right? If you take Abraham out of the picture, there is no Moses. There is no Joshua. There is no David. There is no Solomon. There is no anybody else if you take Abraham out of the picture. If you take Isaac out of the picture, you have the exact same results. If you take Jacob out of the picture, who later his name is changed to Isaac, excuse me, to Israel, you take any one of these persons, patriarchs, out of the picture, and you have nothing else. All right? Just think about that. Here's my statement. With Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the beginning, the foundation of anything and everything of God is not I, but Christ. Remember El Shaddai. We looked at the term El Shaddai, God Almighty, all powerful, all able, all capable. And there's more, all wrapped up in one term, El Shaddai, Almighty, Omnipotent, God and God alone. For anything and everything of God to be present, God Himself must be present. All right, listen to that again. For anything, for everything and anything of God to be present, God Himself must be present. Let me explain a little bit. Well, I've said it this way in times past. First, there is reality, then the knowledge of reality. And this is basically what I've seen right here in this passage. First reality, then the knowledge of reality. And it's just so beautifully laid out in this verse right here. You have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Herein is the foundation. Herein is the beginning. Herein is the origin. Herein is where reality is established. All right? Now listen to this statement also. How does God establish anything? The answer is, He Himself appears. God is present. All right. Let's think of, because the verse goes on to say it, let's think of the covenant. The covenant that the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, established and then brought Abram into. Remember, the covenant between the pieces. God cut covenant. But see, It is the Lord Yahweh, the Lord who is Jehovah, who is the Almighty El Shaddai, cut covenant with himself. Remember once again, Abram at that time was off to the side in a sleep, as though he were like being operated on, the exact same sleep that Adam was in when the Lord took the rib out of Adam to create Eve. And God, in his mercy, gave Abram the ability to even view what God was doing. God himself cuts covenant. El Shaddai cuts covenant. And this is just mind-blowing and yet so glorious at the same time. The covenant is dependent upon God and God alone. Man is not involved in this. This is a sure covenant, a steadfast covenant, the foundation of which is El Shaddai, the Almighty, all-powerful, all-capable, all-able God. And so, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you have reality being established. God appeared. God appeared. God appeared. That's all you find with the patriarchs. God appeared. God appeared. God appeared. Listen, the foundation was laid when God appeared, because the foundation, Paul, the Apostle Paul will later say, the foundation is Christ himself. The foundation is nothing other than El Shaddai, God himself. And yet the verse says, "And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai, but by my name, Jehovah, Yahweh, Lord," all caps, "was I not known to them." Now, God can only make known, God can only reveal what is present. And I know I've used this example several times before, but I'll just, for example, I'll use it again. I want to let everybody know that behind my notes here is my silver pen. Now, I just declared what's present. Because it is present, and because I know it is present, because I myself placed it there, I can now reveal what is present, what has been present since before the beginning of this class, whether you knew it or not, whether you were aware of it or not. And see, now you've heard my testimony, and yet you've not seen anything. So in your mind, you can begin to conceive, imagine what I have just declared. And yet, until I reveal, until I make known, until I show what I myself have declared, you know absolutely nothing about it. All you have is your concept, your imagination, your understanding. But when I reveal it, when I make it known, now you have not a concept, not your understanding, but my understanding. And I can reveal it because it is present. Just example, let's do it. Here it is. Uncover the notes. Voila. There's my pen. Now, once again, God can only make known what is present. And more specifically and more excellent, it is not a what, but a who. Christ himself. All right? So Christ must be present for God to be able to make him known, for God to reveal him. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the foundation is laid. by God himself. Now you have the verse. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord, was I not known to them. And just take it out of the out of our mind, out of the natural realm of progression. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew God a certain way, but now, oh gosh, now we are knowing God much more maturely, much more profoundly. Well, take it out of that. Take it out of these levels of our knowledge. Take it out of man. Take it out of time. Reality made known. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, reality is established. God lays the foundation, who is Christ himself. Moses and the prophets, with the rest of Moses, I'm looking at specifically Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, the rest of Moses and the prophets, now reality made known. God himself appears. Now the testimony of God himself. And please know this. It is always this. It will always be this. It will never change. In whatever reading, in whatever passage, in whatever word, in whatever term, in whatever jot and tittle or tittle of the scripture, it will always be all that is of God, all, everything, the summation of everything that is of God is designed of God himself to bring unto the person of Christ his Son. Always. It is the testimony that births in our heart that expectation, births in the heart, listen, awakens in the soul that expectation placed there of God to come unto Christ. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai, but by my name, Jehovah, Yahweh, Lord, all caps, was I not known to them. First, God had to establish something. The establishment, and it's really not a something, it is the establishment of his Son being present. And now, once his Son is present, and that's not changing, not ever changing, now he can make known the one who has been present the whole entire time since the moment the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, Lord, all caps, appeared. To me, that's awesome. What more will we receive from God other than what we have already received at the moment of new birth? What more? The answer is nothing more. We have received all that we were ever created, all that our souls were ever created to receive at the moment of new birth, because we received the person of Christ himself, the beloved Son, all that God has ever had to offer unto the soul. God has nothing more to offer. He has offered everything in offering his Son. So just looking at a couple of other terms, just a couple of other things, in just looking at the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with Genesis, because Genesis, I just thought of this. I went ahead and looked at the term Genesis, not the Strong's number or anything like that, just the actual word Genesis in English in a couple different Bible dictionaries. This is Easton's Revised Bible Dictionary. It says Genesis, the first book of the Pentateuch, is called by the Jews Bereshith, that is, in the beginning. It goes on, it is generally known among Christians by the name of Genesis, that is, creation or generation, being the name given to it in the Septuagint, as designating, and the Septuagint is basically the Greek translation of the Old Testament, as designating its character because it gives an account of the origin of all things. Now just take it out of the natural realm and think of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. If God is not present, there is no beginning. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Just so I don't misquote that, let me read it real quick. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You take God out of the picture, you take the Word out of the picture, you take Christ out of the picture, and you have nothing. Zero. Zero. But once the Lord appears, once Christ appears, you have everything of God in the person of His Son. Everything. Lacking nothing. It goes on. This is the IVP, InterVarsity Press, Dictionary of Biblical Imagery for the word Genesis. It says, the title of the book tells us what it is about. Genesis is the book of beginnings, the definitive source of how the universe, human history, and salvation history began. It's the definitive source of everything that is of God. All right? Genesis is preeminently the story of first things. Gives examples, the first couple, the first son, the first garden, the first rainbow, and so on. How about this? The firstborn among many brethren. Christ Himself. The firstborn from among the dead. We can't overlook what's represented here with these patriarchs, with what God is representing here, with what God is testifying here with these patriarchs. And basically it's this, God is present. God appears and He is now eternally present. And for us who are born again, the moment of new birth, God appears in the soul. He is eternally present. Present from that moment onward in the soul, whether the soul recognizes it, knows it, is aware of it or not. But God is present. It is fully and completely and perfectly established the moment, the very moment God Himself appears in the soul. And so, once again, what God Himself knows to be present, God desires now to make known reveal, remove the cover. I looked at some definitions on the term Yahweh, Lord, Jehovah, and we'll just look at a couple because this is just so awesome. This is Strong's dictionary for the term Lord, Strong's number 3068, Lord, all caps, Yahweh, Jehovah. It is the self-existent or eternal. The self-existent or eternal. Particularly the name by which he revealed himself to Moses. All right? The self-existent or the eternal. How does the self-existent or the eternal, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, how does he make himself known? He appears where he is not. Once he is present, he then makes himself known. You've heard of the abode of the dead, and we've also heard of the land of the living. God makes himself known in the land of the living. How is it that a soul comes from the abode of the dead, unto the land of the living? The moment of new birth, when the living one, Christ himself, appears in the soul. Living one, Christ himself, appears in the soul. And then at that very moment, because Christ is present in the soul, life is present in the soul, now that soul is found in the land of the living, life. All right. Go on a little bit. I loved this when I saw this in this verse, because I was reading. I try to take my time first, verse by verse, when I'm reading, just really slowly, really taking it step by step. And I'll even show this when I'm reading the scripture. I try to read it like this. And if you can see, I've got my hands open, because one of the reasons is basically this. And I think I stressed it the past couple of classes. When God speaks to us. This is always the case. When God speaks to us, we are looking at something less than what he is declaring. That is always the case. We have our concept. We have our imagination. We have, listen, our knowledge. We have our understanding, everything of which is below. And we are using that, calculating that with our superconductor brain to form an image of what God himself is declaring. And the end result of that is a false image. It is not the image that God himself knows to be true, who is Christ himself. Example. Abram at the time, and, well, it might have been, I'm not sure if it was Abram, or if his name had already changed to Abraham, forgive me on that one. The Lord is speaking concerning the seed, or actually, visually, I'll do it this way. The Lord is speaking to Abraham, concerning the seed, concerning the heir, concerning his inheritance, concerning his increase. Abraham, on the other hand, is looking at Ishmael as God is declaring the truth, the true one, the only one. Abraham is looking at Ishmael. So then, once again, in reading the scriptures, in reading portions of the scriptures, in reading chapters of the Bible, paragraphs, books, the whole entirety, the whole volume of it, When we read, read with open hands. Because your concept, my concept, your understanding, my understanding is not God's. It's man's. And see, that way, you're constantly yielding everything to the Lord, presenting everything to the Lord, where God Himself can make known the true that He alone and He Himself can make known as He has declared. All right. So in just reading the verses, I'll read verse 3 again. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah, by the name God Almighty, El Shaddai, but by my name Jehovah, Yahweh, was I not known unto them. Verse 4. And I love this when I was reading. It's like, oh no, it's here. God even declares it right here. Verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them. I have established the patriarchs, the founding fathers once again. You take Isaac out of the picture, there is no Moses. There is no Joseph. There is no David. Take it even further. No Solomon. No Isaiah. No Jeremiah. No Peter. No Paul. No John. God Himself must be present. When God is present, God begins to declare the testimony of the one who is present to the heart. Now, listen. God, who is eternal, is ever-present. Remember, the ever-present El Shaddai. God the Father is eternally declaring His Son. Whether the soul has received His Son or not. But to as many who received Him, to them He gave the power to become sons of God. So now, when the soul receives the Son of God, the one who is eternally ever present, now the Lord continues to declare this same one, so that the heart of the one who has received everything they will ever receive of God, so that that heart may be prepared, the ground of the heart prepared, and by the work of the Spirit, that heart may turn and behold the one who is ever present. God always declares His Son. Whether we realize it, recognize it, or not, God always declares His Son. Okay, just back to verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them. And see, we could look at the, you know, the covenant, the covenant between the pieces that we did look at several classes back, and see. Yet the Lord takes it a step further. Because the Lord really isn't talking about a covenant. He's talking about His Son. He even declares it later on in the prophets. I will give thee, speaking of His Son, speaking of Christ Himself, His beloved Son, I will give thee as a covenant to the peoples. Looking at the term established, is Strong's number 6965. This is the New International Dictionary of Old Testament Theology and Exegesis. It says, oh yes, for one, this term, established, it is the hifl verb stem, and it's a verb, the hifl verb stem, and it is in the perfect tense, okay? That's going to be important here in a little bit. So, looking at the New International Dictionary of Old Testament Theology and Exegesis, for the term established, Strong's number 6965, it says this: stand. Last, continue, arise, rise up, get up into the morning. Or in the morning. Now, specifically with the hifl verb stem, it is set up, erect, carry out, perform, make, stand, establish, raise up, held up. This is the Concise Dictionary of Classical Hebrew for the same term, established. This is the hifl verb stem, these definitions. This is 1a, of Yahweh, establish, found, constitute, constitute covenant with. It goes on, definition B, carry out, give effect, keep, uphold, fulfill the commandment. This is the Online Bible Hebrew Lexicon for the term established. And just the basic definition, to rise, arise, stand, rise up, stand up. And this is the call verb stem. To arise, to stand, to be established, be confirmed, to stand, endure, to be fixed, to be valid, to be proven, to be fulfilled, to persist, to be set, be fixed. Now, the hifl verb stem. To cause to arise, raise. To raise, set up, erect, build, to raise up, rouse, constitute, to cause to stand, set, station, establish. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's a lot of jargon. That's just, I'm getting lost in all these definitions. Well, okay, that's fine. It's easy to get lost in definitions, but the whole If you were just listening, everything concerning this term, established, where the Lord says, and I have also established my covenant with them. Everything is pointing, listen, above. Where is everything of God established? It is established above in the heavens. When is it established? When God is present. When is God present? God is eternally present. So you can say it is forever established. So secure in God Himself. Remember the covenant between the pieces. See, just thinking of it, covenant is usually a covenant between two parties, and both parties have to maintain the obligations. Both parties have obligations to maintain for the covenant. But see, remember, with the cutting of the covenant between the pieces, Abram never walked between the pieces. God and God alone, Jehovah, the Lord, all caps, Yahweh, alone walked between the pieces. Everything is dependent upon God and God alone, specifically, listen, El Shaddai, the Almighty, all able, all capable, all powerful God. How secure is it? I'll say it this way. How secure is our salvation? for each believer, for the church. How secure is our salvation? It is as secure as God Almighty Himself, because our salvation is God Almighty Himself. He is ever present in the soul that is born again. And the Lord continually directing the heart above. This is what the testimony does. It prepares the ground of the heart to turn with an expectation to behold He of whom it speaks, Christ Himself, directing the heart above. The heart above. Why? Because everything is safe and secure wherein the Lord is present. And above, please understand, above is not like me in the natural, looking up in the natural with my natural eyes. That's not above. No, that's not above. The people on the equator would have, which is me, on the globe, would have a tough time, South Pole or North Pole, because their above wouldn't be our above then. Oh my gosh, their above would not be our above. Or maybe their above is not our above. Maybe their above is our below. Or maybe our above is their below. Do you see? Nothing is, there's no consistency with man. There's nothing sure, nothing steadfast, nothing solid, nothing established with man. But everything with God and God alone. Above is superior to that which is below. All right, so just real quick in wrapping this up, looking at the Online Bible Hebrew Lexicon grammatical notations for the term established, and it tells us right here, it is in the hifl verb stem, and it also tells us that it is in the verb is in the perfect tense. All right, now this is the hifl. Just some examples of the hifl defined here, the hifl verb stem defined here in the Online Bible Hebrew Lexicon grammatical notations. It says hifl usually expresses the causative action of call. Okay, and then it gives us examples. Here's the call verb stem. It says he ate. Here's the hifl verb stem. It says he caused to eat. He fed. The call, he came. The hifl, he caused to come. He brought. Causative sin, causative action. He reigned. The call, hifl, he made king. He crowned. See. And I have also established. I took the initiative. El Shaddai, the Almighty, Omnipotent. I did what no man could do. Jesus said this, no man can come to me except the Father Himself, draw him, because we will not come on our own. It must be initiated of God. God is the one who draws. God is the one who brings. God is the one who prepares the heart that the heart may turn and behold the one unto whom He Himself has brought our soul the moment of new birth. This is El Shaddai. God Almighty does this because with man it is completely and utterly impossible. Remember, come to the Lord with your hands open wide. Don't try to close your hands and say, oh, I got it. I know this. I learned this. I studied this. I learned this in first semester. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that at all. All right. This is the Online Bible Hebrew Lexicon grammatical notations for the term, well, for perfect, for the perfect verb tense. And it gives us some example. It gives us a definition, then it gives us like an example. And I'll use one example that it gives us. The perfect expresses a completed action. I love that. I don't know about you. A completed action. Whoa, what does that mean? That means that no more can it be added unto or taken from. I think Jesus said it this way. Can you add one cubit to your stature? And then he goes on to say, if you can't do the least of these things, why do you try to do the rest? The perfect expresses a completed action. God hath done. Period. Man cannot do. Man could not do. Man can never do what God and God alone hath done. I love this. I'll just read this example. Part of a definition. Part of the definition of the perfect tense. Here it says, sometimes in Hebrew, future events are conceived so vividly and so realistically that they are regarded as having virtually taken place and are described by the perfect. But why? Because it's outside of time. It's in the eternal. God is declaring the ever-present El Shaddai. God is declaring His ever-present beloved Son. Man is the one who is on a timeline. God is outside of our timeline. Outside of our timeline. All right? God, for the soul, can only make known Him who is present if He be present in the soul. Now, let me rephrase that and say it again. God, for the soul, desires to make known His Son, who is eternally ever present, but to do so, His Son, who is eternally ever present, must be present in the soul. Remember, looking at the land, the promised land, it is the soul. God created it for one purpose, for His Son. It is the inheritance of His Son, for His Son to fill, for His Son to dwell in. And what does Abram discover when the Lord Himself is the one who finally brings him to the land? All there is to discover, the one who has eternally been ever present in the land since the moment of new birth. And the Lord appeared. So, just real quick, once again, there is reality and the knowledge of reality. There can be no knowledge of reality except the reality of God, who Christ Himself is, be present in the soul. We cannot, us who are born again, and for those who are not born again, we cannot know God except God Himself be present. And God is eternally present. The question is whether He is present in our soul or not. Now, if we are born again, He is eternally present in our soul. Therefore, Jesus says, you must be born again. Now, because He is eternally present in our soul, the Lord would declare, set not your affection on that which is below, but on that which is above, where your life is found. To know, to see, to know the one who is present. So, I think we'll go ahead and end for this class. But I was just kind of looking at that just these passages, and it just blew me away because I've always had this concept of, okay, well, with the patriarchs, God made himself known this way, but, you know, that was like building blocks. But now with Moses, now with David, Joshua, David, oh gosh, the prophets, Solomon, now we can, well, it's basically this. Christ is present, and God wants to make known the Christ who is present. That's it. That's it. It's not a matter of levels. It's not a matter of me coming to some higher level of knowledge. No. There's just the knowledge of man which is below that is declared to be ignorance, darkness, foolishness. And then there is the knowledge of God, which is Christ himself, one or the other. So, once again, please present all this to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God would take that which he desires to take, use it for his end, his purpose. Amen. Amen. We'll see you all in our next class. Lord bless. Amen.